When we listen, really listen to someone else, we can transform our experience and help transform their experience as well. When listening is more than just, you know, waiting for them to be quiet, when listening is really being with someone, we can touch an experience that is spiritual and will be a blessing for us and for them. There's a story in this book that we've been using for our series about a young woman, her experience with her mother. And they start out with this interview before she's learned these skills. She says, "My mother is a very critical person. No matter what I do, it's not good enough. She doesn't like the way I dress, who my friends are, who I date, what I do with my spare time, how I drive. I'm ready to explode. I just don't want to go home anymore. It's so unpleasant. Every moment she thinks I'm going to get pregnant. She's constantly riding me, watching me, checking up on me. I just wish she would get a life and give me a break." So we've had that experience, maybe not with our moms, maybe with our moms and with others in our lives. Someone who, they just don't understand us. They don't listen to us. And maybe it's because we're not listening to them. And so once this young woman learned some of these skills from nonviolent communication, she had a very different kind of conversation with her mom. So where did my, there, come on up, come on up. So we've got mom over here and the daughter over here, so.
"You're going out again? Is that what you're wearing? It is way too low cut. I suppose you are going to some disgusting nightclub with your loose friends."
"Mom, I hear you are concerned about me and want me to be safe."
"Well, when you dress like that, I'm afraid boys will get the wrong idea about you."
"Mom, are you feeling afraid and wanting me to make good choices?"
"But you have such wild young friends. I have seen them on Facebook. I don't see them going to college."
"Mom, I think I hear you saying that you dislike my friends and you want some respect."
"I made mistakes when I was your age. I got pregnant and was never able to get my college degree. It has held me back my whole life."
"Mom, I guess you are feeling angry about your choices and wishing you could choose again."
"I am ashamed that I did not take advantage of the opportunities I had. I am afraid for your safety and your future. I will always be here for you, no matter what you do, but I don't want you to mess up the way I did."
"Mom, I love you. I feel grateful that you want the best for me. I really want the same for me that you do."
So a very different kind of conversation than what she'd been used to when she learned the skills. And the key is listening and hearing where the other person is and mirroring back to them what it is that they are feeling and what it is that they are wanting, and maybe even helping them for the first time experience what's really going on in them in their own lives. We've been practicing the skills the last couple weeks of getting in touch with our feelings, being aware of them, expanding our vocabulary about our feelings. Last week we looked at what our wants are, what our needs, what we really need in life, and again, expanding our vocabulary around that. And as we practice that, we find that we get clarity for ourselves about what serves us and what doesn't serve us, and we can also help others have that same clarity in their lives. Now, we have grown up with a model of communication very different than this. We've grown up with a model of communication, again, of thinking that we've got to defend our position. We've got to protect our turf. We've got to give them a piece of our mind. And we all know where that leads us. It doesn't lead us to a very productive conversations. And so this other way of doing it takes practice. It takes not only knowing the skills, knowing the tools, but practicing the skills as well in that. But the key is That when we get connected to what's really important for us, we can help others get connected to what's really important to them. Because what we know is that all of our needs aren't in conflict. All of our needs really are the same. We all have the same needs as human beings. So there's no conflict there when we remember that. And the key, the foundation, is saying that this is what we're about, that we're trying to create an environment for ourselves and others where there is understanding, empathy, and that clarity around who and what we are in our lives. So the scripture that we have today comes from the words of Jesus and is giving us this instruction. Listen, everyone who has ears to listen with. Anybody here have ears? We all have ears, don't we? But he's not just talking about these ears. He's also talking with our whole being. Listening with our whole being. Listening with a presence to someone else. Because we can be listening to someone and not really hearing them. And so to be listening with our whole being makes a difference in the world. There's that old phrase, I'm sure you've all heard it, that God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we could listen more than we speak. And that's what we learn to practice, is that we don't need to be answering, we don't need to be discussing, we don't need to be convincing them. We can be listening to them and create an experience that's much deeper for ourselves. There's a story about a man who was wondering what to do with his life, and his friend said, well, you're a really good listener. So he rented an office space on a main street and just put out a sign that had a big ear on it. He didn't do counseling, all he did was listen. And he charged people by the hour, and he made a living just listening to people. Just listen, because people don't get that in most places in their life. And so he was able to be that service for them. So my lesson today is called Really Listening with Empathy. So really is going to be our acronym for today. See, there's that really listening. So it starts out with, are you ready? Are you ready to listen? Because sometimes we're not ready to listen. Sometimes we're not at that point because we're distracted as well on our own. There's a wonderful little section of the book. It says, check first with yourself to see that your own feelings and needs are met. If you feel distracted or distressed, you may not be able or willing to listen to what's going on for somebody else. So, and again, if we need to communicate that, you know, someone may say, oh, I've got this big test tomorrow. And you may say, well, I've got this paper that's due today. Let me finish my paper and then I'll have some time to be with you, to listen to you. And so sometimes we need to negotiate that and to be clear that if we're not at a space where we can be that present to someone, to let them know in a compassionate way that we need to get back to them and we need to do it differently. The way that Rumi put it was this, in our conversations, don't try to steer the boat, don't open shop for yourself. Yeah. Listen, keep silent, you are not God's mouthpiece, try to be an ear. And if you do speak, ask. So what I invite you to do to see whether or not you're ready to listen to someone is to ask, to say, God, am I ready? And to ask for that presence of God to be present in you in a way that you're aware of and that you can use to be present to someone else. And so you may need to say, God, I need your help right now to be able to not think that this is going to be the same conversation I've had every other time with this person. Ask for that spiritual depth to see you through and communicate in a different way. So that's the key here. Ask for God's help. That's part of being ready. So the E in really is for empathy. And again, recognizing that what we want to give to someone is understanding. We don't necessarily need to help them. Again, that's many times when someone comes to us and they're upset about something, a part of our mind goes, well, what can I do to help them? What can we do to fix their lives? And in this step, what we're doing is we're not trying to fix their lives, we're just trying to listen. We're not trying to help, we're trying to listen so they can discover what the help is that they need. Because we may have a whole thing that we think will help their lives that may be not what they're looking for at all. There's also a section in this chapter that says, don't just do something, stand there. So to get us to that place, again, what our purpose is to provide empathy, not to help them, not to fix them in our lives. And so if we set an intention of empathy for that experience of listening, saying my job here And you're reminding yourself, my job here is to listen. My job is to tune in to them, see what's going on. Just an example of that, we were babysitting our six-month-old granddaughter yesterday, and she was on the floor, and I laid down about 3 feet away from her, and she rolled over to me. Yeah. And so when we are willing to be present to someone, it's going to shift the way. They're going to come into a connection, into a relationship that's in a deeper way for us. And so we need to be prepared. That's a kind of part of that readiness to say, what I'm here to do is to have that empathy. Now, if you noticed in the little skit that we did, that the story that in her interview before, it was like, you know, mom's, you know, she's trying to run my life. It's like all these things she was saying. But once she began to listen to her mother and began to echo back her mother's needs and her feelings, her mother provided information with her about why she was feeling, what was going on, her own history, that she had never known before. This young woman had never known her mom had wanted to go to college, because she never saw her, you know, talking about it. So here is all her mother's regret and all these own things. All of a sudden, she becomes aware of and provides her more understanding. And so what she said was afterwards that I've shifted from anger and impatience with my mother to compassion and gratitude, because she finally got that her mom really loves her and wants the best for her. Well, she wants the best for herself. And once they could communicate in that way, their relationship could move in a different way. I had someone report to me this week who's been practicing these skills that they had a very similar experience. They made, you know, because it started out, this conversation, they were impatient and they were just wanting to tell this person what they were doing wrong. And once they remembered, oh, wait a minute, I've got another way that I can do this. So in mid-conversation, they shifted and began to practice these skills. They said, once she did, all of a sudden she found compassion for this person and even gratitude for the conversation, and found a way that she could be of service to this person that helped move them into a whole different space. So this does work when we come from that place of not trying to fix them, but a place of empathy. The A in really stands for all in. I'm not talking about Texas Hold'em. It's about being present with every part of who and what you are as you're listening to someone else. Now, not messing with your phone, not looking over their shoulder to say hi to somebody else, but to be present with them in a way, to listen with your entire being, to listen with all that you are. And so in this sense, we can use our body as a resonator for listening. And listen not just with our ears, but with our eyes. Watch what their facial expressions are. Watch what their body posture is. You know, pay attention to that. Listen with your skin. Feel what it is that you're feeling as they're talking. You'll have a visceral experience as well. Are your muscles tensing up? You know, pay attention to all those things. Listen with your gut. Listen with that intuition, with that feeling part of yourself. But most importantly, listen with your heart. That's the primary organ for empathetic listening. Listening with your heart, being present to them. One of the images I like to imagine is that I'm listening to someone, that there's these wings of God that are just embracing us both in a deeper connection, a deeper way of being together as we're listening in a deeper way. So part of the work then is to, again, to be fully present to them. So, and really the first L is, again, this listening. So again, it's a type of listening. It's not a head listening, where they're talking and we're going, yeah, 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 I've heard you say that before. Yeah, 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 I know you said that, yeah. You think that's bad, you should hear what, you know, what my story is. Or, I know somebody else, or, you know, I know somebody else who has cancer. You know, again, we can go on this whole thing. All that does is separate us. It does not make a connection. And so it's important for us to shift that listening in a deeper way. And part of that is taking in the energy and the intent behind their words, listen in a deeper way. And again, here's where it's so important to open ourselves to that presence of God and to let it help us listen in this experience. And then part of the listening is to listen to the words that they're saying and what's the core or the root of the word that they're saying, so that we can, again, see what's behind what's going on. So they might say, nobody understands me. Well, what's their need? They're looking for understanding, isn't it? They could say, what did I write here? Nobody considers my feelings, so they're looking for consideration. And so again, the words that they're saying about what's not happening, what's missing for them, will give you a cue about what it is that their needs are. So it's listening that way. And again, as I mentioned, make a space in your consciousness for that activity of God. I love the way this is phrased. I'm open to the voice for God. Now, we usually, when we say that, we usually say voice of God. But I love, this is a phrase that comes from the Course in Miracles, the voice for God. And it gives us a different way of recognizing that there's this presence that wants to speak. And as we listen, it'll give a message to us. And it's wanting to represent itself. It's wanting to represent the divine, first of all, in our consciousness, and then representing the divine through our consciousness. So that's our work, is to listen. So let's say this together. I am open to the voice for God. And again, I am open to the voice for God. So as you're listening, you listen with your ears, with your eyes, with your skin, with your muscles, with your gut, with your heart, but you also listen with that deeper part of yourself, that soul part of yourself, and it'll reveal to you so much more than just what they're saying with their words. You'll catch much, much more in that process. So the second L in really is to then language back to them their feelings and their needs. Again, what happens so many times in a conversation is that we'll give back sympathy, which is, oh, that makes me feel bad too, which doesn't really help them to feel with them. Again, we want to be present to them and open to them, but we don't want to let their feelings overwhelm us as well. Or we don't need to be in the languaging back what is called storytelling. Oh, I heard about that cancer. Yeah, so-and-so has cancer too. And then we go on with this and that's, or, oh, here's my story. Or the comparison. You think that's bad. Oh, you should hear this. And it's like that's not going to be helpful for them. Again, it's just a disconnect. You're not honoring what they're saying. You're not really listening to them. And so the key is to listen for what it is that the person wants, not what they don't want. Because they're probably telling you what they don't want, because that's what's showing up. So what is it that they want? And so as we language back to them, we want to use something in the present, because they may be complaining about something that happened 2 decades ago. So what are they feeling right now, and what are they needing right now? Because what they were feeling then and wanting then, we can't do anything about that. But what are they feeling right now, and what are they wanting right now? And if we can help them be clear with that, again, it can help move them in a different way. And then you're not going to know, even if you've been listening to them clearly, you're going to have to guess what it is that they're feeling sometimes, and you're going to have to guess what it is that they want. And so it's okay to do that, because if someone says something, you say, oh, are you angry? And they said, no, I'm furious. They're not just angry, they're furious. And so they'll let you know. But if your guess is this what you're feeling, and it's, even if it's not close, they'll hone into what it is, then because you've been listening and you're helping them sort that out. So that's important. So, and then we want to help them discover what their need is in a positive way. Because they said, I need them to be quiet. Oh, you're looking for some peace and quiet in your life. They're making too much noise. Oh, you're looking for a space where you don't have that, so you can study and whatever it is that you want. So help them put it in a positive way. So here's the format for how you answer back to them. Are you feeling blank, and do you want blank? And there's all kinds of variations of this, but this is the basic model of it. You can say, oh, I hear you saying that you're feeling angry, and I think I hear you saying that here's what you want. And so you can make it a guess, make it a question, And again, I should put the question mark in there. Make it a question so you're not telling them, you're asking, here's what I think I'm getting from this, am I right? So that again, you're not trying to take it away from them, you're trying to help them be clear in their own experience. So they can say, nobody appreciates me. Oh, I hear that you're feeling like no one acknowledges you and you'd like some appreciation. Yeah. Say, I'm feeling disturbed because I can't read my own handwriting here. I added these this morning and after my notes were printed out. Okay. So somebody say, I can't get anything done. I can't get anybody to help me. So what are they looking for? They're looking for help. They're looking for cooperation. So listening to what they say. And again, and it may be that you have to listen to what the opposite of what they're saying. They could say, I was left out of that experience. I'm so mad. So you can say, oh, you're angry because you're looking for belonging. You're looking for participation. So again, is this what you're feeling? Is this what you want? And again, if you're not right, they'll let you know. And then you can check again. Oh, so is this what you're feeling? Is it, I'm hearing, this is what I'm hearing now. Is this what you want? And then you can help them come to that clarity. Or the other part of this is simply using the language of being present and don't say a thing. Sometimes that's the best thing. And again, as you're listening to God, the Spirit will guide you in that. So this is the basic format. Are you ready to listen? Remembering that it's about empathy, being present to them, not giving your side. Be all in, be fully present, listening to them, languaging back to them what you're guessing that they're feeling and guessing that they're needing. And so then the why of really is your turn. And again, here I did put the question mark. Because they've, you know, you've listened to them, you've been present to them. What happens many times is that once you've done that, then they're ready to listen to you, but sometimes they're not. And so you have to be aware that just if, as you had to check in, were you ready to listen? You need to check in, are they ready to listen? They may not be the person that you want to try to get them to do this practice with. Call me, you know, call somebody else who's taking the class and get that support from them. If you can get it from them, that's great. There's another story in our text about a man who had just joined a new church, and the discussion about abortion came up. And here's what he wrote. He says, we were in a heated argument, to say the least. So that, you know, she was pro-life, he was pro-choice, they were going back and forth. He says, finally realized that we were getting nowhere. And I decided to stop talking and only listen, but really listen. Not how I'd been listening before. Before, I was listening, but only with my own idea at the back of my head. And I was literally waiting for her to stop talking so I could elaborate my own position. Now I cleared my head and heard her completely. I realized she was very firm in her opinion, which did have some good points that I had not been able to see before. And although I disagreed with her, I had to give her credit for her opinion and allow her to think the way she wanted to think. So I realized that she was feeling so strongly that there was no way that she could hear my viewpoint and my concerns. So after I listened, without speaking for some time, she seemed to be in shock that I was finally quiet. I think she appreciated me listening and hearing her out. She was then willing to hear me, so I spoke. I explained my ideas and I said, I understand and respect your opinion, which made her happy and allowed her to open up to my ideas. By the end of the conversation, she admitted that perhaps her way of thinking was old-fashioned, but that's how she was raised. And she wanted to give some thought to others' opinions. So instead of it just being an argument, there's now an openness for consideration. I was really impressed with how well nonviolent communication worked in this situation. I was able to open my own mind and to do the same with somebody else. So that's what this is about. Because we've all had conversations that have degenerated too quickly into something that was not helpful for either one of us in that. And so these are the ideas and the skills that as we practice will make a difference in our own life. And what I would say is that any attempt that you make at using even part of this is good enough for that moment. So what I'd like you to do is I'll raise your right hand and bring it around and back. Just pat yourself on the back. So you showed up today to take these ideas in. So that's good enough for now. And you probably have somebody in mind that you want to practice this with, right? They may be right next to you here. They may not be here. and maybe somebody at work. You know, we had one of our guys who brought a friend from work to our Tuesday night class, and he reported he said he got so much out of it, he's going to come back. So again, we know people that these skills, everybody, these skills will be helpful for. So again, I invite you to join us Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. We're looking at these skills and practicing them so that we can make them more real for us. Because again, we have to practice them because we've learned this other model that just, we know it doesn't work. We've seen it not work. We've experienced it not work. We've had our hearts broken because it doesn't work. And so here's another way that does work. It does make a difference. So again, the key is, are you ready to listen? And again, you're the only one who can know that. And if you're not, that's okay. If in that moment you're not ready to listen to them, you just say, you know, right now, I can't listen to you in a way that's going to be helpful. Can we do this another time? You know, but once you're ready, you know it's about empathy. You're all in. You're going to listen, really listen, to not just to what they're saying, but what's behind they're saying. Listen with your whole being. And then language back to them. Your guess about what they're feeling and what they're wanting. There's more to the model, but this is enough. We're building the skills. This is enough for now. And then if it's appropriate for you to give your turn, for you to language what it is that you're feeling, what your needs are, then again, that conversation can go even deeper. When we practice this process, it'll make a difference. And again, I love to think of it that this is a spiritual practice. It may sound psychological, but really this is a spiritual practice about being present to someone in a way that's healing. That's remembering that God is within them, God is within you, God is among you in a way that can bring forth new understanding and new peace. And just as that young woman, she says, "Now I understand you, Mom." Instead of arguing with her mom, she can have an understanding now that's so different. So really listening at that deeper level opens us up to God's activity of transformation. And that's what we're looking for in our lives, to really have that experience of that presence of God moving us forward, opening us to greater blessings. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for listening through us to those around us, that we may hear them and hear what's really moving in them in a deep way, to know what they're feeling and what they're wanting, so that they can be clear enough to bring the joy and the peace and the blessings of your presence into their experience in new ways. We are open. We are ready to listen. Really listen. Thank you, God. Amen.